Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And I've got a duo with me today. So I'm excited to have husband and wife. We've got Chris and Carrie. And their story is a little unique because apparently when they met each other, both of them had Lyme disease, but neither one of them knew it. So it's going to be an interesting story. I know some of their story is going to be a little different, but then I think once they figure it out, their story is a lot the same like many of us, right? So I'm super excited to have them share with us. Welcome to the show, Chris and Carrie.
Hey, Tanya. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So where I just think it's fascinating, there's so many people out there that really have Lyme, right? They may or may not even have symptoms from it, or they may, and then they don't even know what it is. So here you two meet and kind of found this journey together, right?
Did.
Yes, we did.
I got it in 1992. As a younger person, I kind of grew up on a large lake, and you know, you're always getting nailed by spiders and bugs and stuff. You don't really think much of it, but I do remember a bullseye, behind my left knee, and just remember thinking, well, you know, that's a different kind of spider, but went on. And in hindsight, you know, that's when a sort of a cascade of symptoms actually started, and it went on for, you know, years. And,
sorry to interrupt you right here, but that's interesting that you say that because I got a bullseye rash, right? I got bit in my front yard and I scratched my ankle all night long sleeping. And I woke up to this bullseye rash and I thought the same exact thing. Wow, that's a weird spider bite, right? Little did we know. And so once you noticed this bullseye rash, did you immediately start having symptoms or did it take a while?
I'll say it took a few months.
Okay.
That was in the summer. And then by, you know, later that fall or over the winter, you know, there were some sort of psychological, neurological things that were new that showed up. And, you know, it built from there to the point where, you know, I ended up in a mobility scooter years later and, you know, certainly couldn't have this conversation with you. But also along the way, you know, I was still pretty functional. I was actually working in a hospital environment and, you know, like I mentioned to you the other night, I thought I knew who all the quote good ones were. And, you know, that was a hard lesson, but an invaluable one, nevertheless. And then Carrie, go ahead.
Mostly, I was probably born with it. I can't say that for sure, but looking back, my mom's gone now, but looking back, she had some interesting symptoms, if you will, and I had some issues as a young child. So, they progressively continued to get worse and I probably got nailed again later on in life, especially right after Chris and I met and we were camping and so forth. So we probably got nailed again, which is really what took us down a really bad path. But that's my guess, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times that's all we have is just kind of a hypothetical guess because, right. You know, a lot of times until we're in the midst of this journey or on the other side of this journey, and we start kind of thinking back over the years, we're like, gosh, you know, I've kind of been sick my whole life or random things have been happening to me. And so it's just, you know, so unfortunate that our testing out there, you know, isn't really the best, right? So we have a lot of work to do in that area, but nonetheless, so you two meet, right? And then where does it go from there? Obviously we're not, you know, we meet and be like, hey, I have all these random symptoms going on, right? Like, so kind of walk us through that.
We really didn't know. I mean, it was things like I had a constant sinus infection when we met, literally constant year round all the time. And thus I had a headache all the time. But, you know, people would blow you off and in your mid 20s and the doctors will say, oh, well, you know, you're getting older. So things happen like that. Okay. And he had similar things of just,
sleep became an issue.
Yep.
We'll just say neurological issues, you know, the sharp, almost like lightning shooting at the end of your fingers and, you know, down your leg.
Oh, that electrical shooting thing is what I call that. Oh gosh, that was just miserable for sure.
A couple of years where neuropathy was, I'll just say it was just weird. You know, from the knees down, you know, like driving a car or something, may not have been something I needed to do, but, you know, I did it. You learn how to sort of feel with your knee, right? Again, in a mobility scooter and, you know, Carrie used to be, she used to cut up my food. My hands actually still shake when I write or fine motor skills. But you know, it used to be, you know, I couldn't even cut my own food. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, you know, things got worse until they got better, and they did.
And they did.
Yeah. So what was it that, were you guys just sitting there one day thinking, gosh, why do we both of these have all these random issues? Like, how did you even decide that, okay, we need to go down a rabbit hole and see why we're not normal, right?
It was a little bit different out on the surface with us in the beginning. He was more neurological, as he's just explained. I ended up being more arthritic and also psoriasis. And so, you know, we did not share those symptoms. So that sort of muddied the waters up front. But.
So two things happened, really. One, you know, coming from a medical environment and, you know, once upon a time I worked in respiratory therapy and, you know, I used to do some other medical type procedures, but it wasn't working. I told you the other day when we spoke, you know, I spent 2.5 years going to roughly 150 doctor appointments per year. That's not 150 different docs, but doc appointments. However, that did include, you know, I'm not knocking the place, but I'm just saying that included, you know, Cleveland Clinic and Vanderbilt and, you know, a couple of universities and so forth. And it was going nowhere fast. And that I just decided that, you know, I'm doing all of the things that they're telling me to do, but it's not working. And so I do not accept this. And so, you know, I didn't know the answer, but I started wondering where do, you know, the rich and famous, not the really the word for it, but where do certain other individuals go for their care? Because it's not necessarily the same places that we would think of, you know, they have to have access to things that we may not know about. And so what are those things and where are they? And so you discover, you know, there are other avenues in medicine. They sort of overlap. And sometimes they're hiding right in front of you. You know, they're in plain sight. You just don't.
Smacking us right in the face, but we don't know what it is. Yeah.
Recognize it. And so, you know, looking for that and starting to figure out a little bit about what those things and where they might be. Kind of almost at the same time, our insurance agent, you know, she called one day or
car insurance
and said, hey, you know, I know your struggle, but You have some family members that know somebody you should probably go see. And on a whim, we did it. And, you know, after 2.5 years, it took this guy 30 minutes. And he said, I know what's wrong with you. I just got to prove it. And he did. And then during that same appointment,
yep.
Carrie.
At the very end, I'm dumbfounded about what he's talking about, you know, with Chris and so forth. And it was Chris's appointment. But I turned to him at the very end. And I said, Doc, I know this is Chris's appointment, so I don't want to take up that time. But I got a question. I have psoriatic arthritis, and I've been on Enbrel for 7 years. And should I be seeing you too? And he turned to me and said, you do not have psoriatic arthritis because there's no such thing. And we're going to get you off Enbrel 6 months to a year from now. And it took closer to a year and a half. However, yes, within about 2 or 3 weeks, I knew we were going to get me off of Enbrel. And we did. It was a godsend. I mean, I thought I was still teaching high school math. And I thought two different times that I was going to literally have to do a early retirement because I could not function. And I ended up retiring with full benefits. I went all the way through.
I have- Good for you. And, you know, it's so crazy to me because we truly, I mean, you just said two of the things that I think are so important. One, you finally decided I have to advocate for myself, right? Like, so these are not the answers. We go to these big name clinics. We think they're supposed to do everything. And again, like, I don't want to knock all Western No. medicine, right? There's a time and place for things, but when we're not getting the answers that we need, or they're not acknowledging us, right? Then we kind of get into that gaslit thing, and Yeah. go through this hamster wheel of all these ideas and thoughts and medications and all of that. And then the second thing that you brought up that I love is that, okay, so we become our own advocate, right? But you also got curious. And you thought outside the traditional box. And I Right. think so many times that truly can be the missing key for many of us that battle this, is that if what you're doing isn't working, right?
Right.
Get curious and figure it out. And Right. you don't know what you don't know, right? Why not try something new? What do you have to lose? Because apparently what, you know, you may be doing now isn't working. So I love both of those things. Become your own advocate and get curious.
Yes.
So I might add two quick things. One, the same doctor on that same visit, you know, I walked in there with COPD and I had, you know, on a bunch of inhalers and stuff. And I never smoked in my life, never. And so he looked at me and he said, throw all that stuff away. You're not going to need it.
Yep.
And he gave me a prescription for something else. And I don't know, I did the something else for 2 years or so?
Twice a day for at least 2 years.
And I didn't eat any of it anymore. And
it was a more natural
And thing. I still don't. And then the other
and
thing.
So can I just stop you and ask a question on that one thing? So do we think it was actually COPD or was it maybe air hunger from Babesia?
We know that it was. Well, we did scope of my lungs.
Okay.
So we had the pictures of the inflammation, some of the scarring and that. And we can debate about what it really was, but it fit all of the parameters of a COPD diagnosis. Okay. You know, it could have been the other and the doc just wasn't aware.
Yeah.
But by the time I got the new medication, I was done with the doc that, you know, scoped my lungs and gave me all the inhalers, right?
Yeah.
and so, you know, I wasn't going to go to him with a more natural product that actually fixed me. You know, he was not going to accept that
no.
at all. And so I just, after a while, it just wasn't worth it. But I will say this, kind of at the same time, you know how we get kind of curious and we're looking for answers. I was just hanging out in the bookstore and I look down and I see this brand new book with a bright orange cover. And for some reason, it just spoke to me.
It did.
I had no idea that we had Lyme at the time, but it was Richie Horowitz's book, Why Can't I Get Better? So the brain fog at that time was such that I actually had to read that about four times before I kind of got the gist of what he was saying. But I knew that book was speaking to me, right? And so turns out it was. Yeah. You know, there was some intuition. Same thing with Carrie. You know, I was like, you know, I got a hunch on what's really going on. And then, you know, it was that we later did see that doctor, and he verified every bit of it.
Yeah, Chris basically had us diagnosed before we saw that doctor. But yeah, like he said, the doctor sealed it.
Yep. Yeah, isn't that crazy? And I think so many things in life are all about timing, right? Like you were in that bookstore and that bright orange right. book was just staring you in the face. And I'm so happy that you took that as a sign, right? And checked it out, whether it took four times to read it and soak it all right. in or not.
Yeah, it's all, I don't typically mark up books, but I marked that one up real good.
Yeah. And, you know, for the listeners out there, there really are, especially, you know, since I've been in the Lyme community for the last 9 years, so to say, there are so many amazing books out there, you know, and it could be just, you know, and a lot of them are on audio as well. Yep. And it could just be, you know, you might take one piece from this book and a couple pieces from that book, but it's just a resource for us. And there really are a lot of resources out in the community for us.
Yes, there's a lot.
There are, fortunately. There's a lot more than there used to be.
Right. When we started the journey, it was really hard to find anything. And now it's pretty easy to find stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
We learned how to find things, but, you know, it is more accessible.
Yeah, for sure.
The doc that kind of figured us out, I will say that he had read Richie Horowitz's book, two, but we really didn't follow that. We didn't really follow that protocol. We kind of did. We did something a little different, and that same doc became one of my earliest medical mentors along, you know, a path that generated later. We'll get to that after a while.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, what type of doctor was this?
He was a functional medicine doc.
Okay. All right. Yep.
We traveled about 3 hours one way to see him. So
yeah.
Thankfully, which, only 3 hours away.
Yeah, because technically that's really not very long, right? Right? Listening to a lot of people's stories, they travel out of state and all of that. And so you didn't do the Horowitz protocol, so to say. So can you kind of walk us through, I mean, I know you guys both had, you know, different sets of symptoms. So did they start you off treating kind of equally or individually? And what did your protocol look like?
We were a little bit different. With me, the doc just said, here's these two herbals, go do it. And it saved my life. I still love those two. When I start to have symptoms, I go back to them. But with Chris, he could not even take one drop of one of those herbals. So he was on a different path in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you, Carrie, what are your two go-to products?
They're both research nutritional products. I do rotate them. So it's not, you know, 100% of the time that it's always these. But it's called, my main one is BLT.
It's a tincture.
It's a tincture, but it's not bacon, lettuce, and tomato, but what's BLT, I always forget.
Yeah, Borrelia lime treatment.
Lime treatment. Okay. And then its little brother is what I call it, which is Crypto Plus. And the Crypto Plus didn't come on till about 3 or 4 months down the road. We started with BLT. BLT was the thing that I knew I was going to get better because of it. And now there was a lot of detoxing that went along with it and some other things that I had to do with it so that I wouldn't hurt. But that was the thing for me. But it's not the thing for everybody.
Absolutely not, you know, and that's what I love about this podcast is that I just have a platform for everybody to share their journey, right? Because maybe one thing could be the ticket for them from your journey, but then maybe one thing from somebody else's journey could be a ticket, and we combine it, right? So I know when we had a chance to chat the other day, Carrie was, you know, trying to work and get through that. And so herxing was really kind of not, you can't do it, right? And how do you function? And so I know that that was kind of part of it, is that they did it a little bit slower for you, and so you didn't have the herxing. And what type of detoxing things and different tips did he have you do to avoid these herxes?
I'm going to let Chris answer that question.
So, okay.
I don't remember all the details.
No, you are good.
So, you know, sometimes I kind of feel like we're all guilty of two things. You know, it took us years to get to this spot, but we want it fixed in like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't happen. And so, you know, one of the biggest things that he told us up front, you know, he gave us the choice of, you know, allopathic medicine, natural medicine, or some combination of the above. And for her, because of her job, you know, she couldn't do the herx, or she would be in a, you know, a dangerous position. And so what we agreed to do sort of together was low and slow sometimes wins the race, right?
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that's the thing that we, you know, we had to not really accept, but we had to actually make it a goal. You know, it wasn't just acceptance that, well, you know, it's going to take a while. The goal was, you know, no, we have to go low and slow. And so, like, for me, it was, he told me up front, it would take 2 years before he could get me to a place where I could accept just one of the drops of that tincture. And trust me, I tried along the way, and he was correct. But don't you know it, on the 24th month, all of a sudden, I was able to take the drops. And yeah, today, you know, I can go squirt, you know, 50 in a glass, and it's no problem.
Right.
But the mission for her was to sort of detox at a higher rate than you were trying to take stuff out, right? So mm-hmm. The mission was, and there, you know, you can define detox a lot of ways, but so the mission for her was to, you know, detox, I'll say at a moderate level, but consistent, and we rotated how we did it. And for me, it was kind of the same thing, but he wanted my hormones and immune markers up before we did any of that. So I had sort of a separate assignment, but they overlap, right? Like we all do. So, yeah. You know, the real answer to your question was, is that we were using moderate detoxers on a rotating but extremely consistent basis, you know, at a level that was maybe a little greater than what we were trying to haul out. And so the balance is what we were looking for. And that's what, yep. You know, that's what got Carrie where she needed to be.
And I've never had one day of a herx and retired when I was supposed to retire. Mm-hmm. Legitimate.
Yay. Congratulations on that retirement. So I want to pause for a second on a couple of those. So I think it's so important for the listeners to know, and I've said this over and over, is low and slow can win the race, right? Like it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And I get this, that many of us struggle for many years trying to get a diagnosis, right? So we finally get this diagnosis. Now we know something's wrong with us. We can get better, right? But a lot of times we want to throw the kitchen sink at it, right? And okay, I got to get worse before I get better. And yes, there's a lot, you know, mild herxing will work for several people. If you're trying to raise a family, finish your career, that may not be, you know, the best thing that works for you. So what I repeat over and over is that if you kill too fast, too much, detox too fast, too much, you truly could be taking more steps backwards than you are forwards. And I know it's hard to wrap our heads around that, But take it from us that have been down this journey. We know we've learned it the hard way, right? So it's, I think that a moderate level of herxing is okay and doable for most people. But if it's not, and it's too much for you, talk to your doctor. Let's figure out, you know, drop things down, slow things up, because it is for sure a marathon. And then on the flip side of that, with Chris, there, I know there's many of them out there that were just like you, because I talk to them all the time, that are extremely sensitive to any type of anything, right? Whether it's an herb, a tincture, an antibiotic, like they just, their body shuts down. They don't like it. It can't, you know? And so, I'm happy that you're sharing that, because many of those types of people really truly lose hope, right? I can't take anything, so I can never get better. And you're here to share with us that you were the same way, but you got through it, right?
Yep, absolutely. One of the things that I've noticed over the last couple of years, I mean, I go to the same conference as the integrative docs do. I don't practice or anything, but so I hear what they say and I hear what they're sharing and the, you know, what kind of what's in their toolbox at the moment. But over the last couple of years, there's been this sort of recognition that didn't really come to the forefront before, and that is just that, you know, we're sort of doing a disservice to the patient if we try to appease them as soon as they walk in the door, you know, by prescribing this or that, or trying to make them feel better 2 days later, because there's a whole lot of foundational work that has to be done for the treatments themselves to either work at all or work at the level that they're capable of. And so just September, you know, I was at another one, and there was one of the lecturers just did an absolute fabulous job, and I'll share the book here in a minute. His name was James LaValle. He did a wonderful job of just demonstrating that, you know, if you don't do these things, and this wasn't necessarily a Lyme conference, this was, you know, for cellular detoxification. That was three days of cellular detox, right? And so the message he did, and some others, but it was very clear that, you know, if you don't do some of this groundwork up front and you start trying to, you know, either kill off or detox or whatever, all these things, that what you don't see right away is that you can actually cause damage to a patient's liver or kidney or whatever, and it won't show up until later. And so, you know, his message was just simply to raise the incentive to pay attention to, you know, how fast and what you're trying to do out the gate, right? And so again, low and slow kind of wins the race, right?
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And, you know, I also, my personal thoughts are, if you treat this journey and you don't get to the root of the problem, the foundation, right? I feel like you are, you know, 100% susceptible to relapsing, because you can't build a house on a rickety foundation, right? Eventually it's going to fall apart. And so that was an important point that you made, because again, right? Many of us go, we finally get this diagnosis, let me kill it. And we can get very frustrated when the doctor doesn't want to kill. They want to boost your immunity. They want to work on your mitochondria. They want to work on your gut health, you know, all these things. And a lot of times I get the frustration that we may not want to start there. We may want to kill it. But like you said, like it could set us back so many more steps than it can forward. You've got to start at that foundation, because some of us have been sick for many, many years, if not decades, and we've truly have worn our bodies down, right? Like not much of it is functioning the way it's supposed to. So if you start attacking it with all these things, it's just going to crumble. You've got to build up that foundation.
Right.
Hold on.
The book is called Cracking the Metabolic Code. The author was James LaValle, just an awesome speaker. I'm not connected to him in any way, but, you know, just an awesome speaker and a really good book. He lays it out in a way that, you know, the average layperson can actually read it and follow it. And he gives you choices in that book. A lot of these authors don't, you know, it's kind of like, do it this way. He gives you choices. So,
and I love that because, you know, all of our bodies are different and, you know, we don't know how we're going to react to things. And I mean, it could be, you know, as simple as taking a vitamin C. You know, this brand may be great for my body, but this one isn't. You know, we just don't know. And what may work for me may not work for you. And so I love that, you know, many of these doctors are open-minded and they understand they're not going to, you know, if you have a good doctor that you love, you resonate with, right? Like for the most part, they're probably not going to be like, no, sorry, don't care if you feel horrible with this, you got to do it. You know, most of them will listen to us because it could be a fantastic product that has helped hundreds of people, but your right. body doesn't like it. And your body's going to tell you. And so not only do we need to advocate for ourselves in this community, we really have to hone in on listening to our body and really believing what it's telling us and go with that.
Doctor, I had the unique opportunity to have lunch with Tom Levy a couple of months ago, and he was doing exactly what you just said. You know, kind of explaining to me that, you know, the differences in the vitamin C's and the differences in the glutathione's and all that, that on the surface, you know, they may seem like the same thing. But if you look at how they're formulated, where they came from, you know,
the fillers,
you know, they are not the same. And so, you know, there is no one size fits all. And so, I don't care who your doc is or who the patient is, you know, on some level, there's some trial and error that has to happen.
For sure.
One of the things that Chris and I frequently did throughout the journey, mentioning the low and slow, if you're just getting frustrated because you weren't fixed after 3 days with some medicine, well, after 3 or 4 days or, you know, every week or two, we'd say, are you any better than you were a week ago? You know, and yeah, I'm better than a week ago. Well, okay. Are you better than you were a month ago? Well, oh my gosh, yes. So we would have that conversation a lot, you know, and we would see the progress. Rarely could we say, you know, maybe last week we weren't as any better than last week, but we were always better than a month ago. Always. So, you know, you just said, listen to your body. We were doing that throughout and we could feel and remember the progress along the way with that.
Yeah. And that's a great point to bring up because I really think that that's where kind of tracking comes into play, you know, right. track your symptoms. If you're having a hard time, you know, eating and you're realizing that you're having reactions from things, track what you're eating, track how you're feeling, you know, just simple tracking can give you so many of those, you know, missing links, so to say. So yeah, that's super important. And then also what you said, Carrie, is when you see improvements, it doesn't matter how small they are. Celebrate every single one of them. Celebrate every single win along your journey, because right. that is what's going to remind you to keep that hope and inspiration that you can get well.
Right. And yeah, I mean, it may have only been 1% better, but we were always better. And that was hopeful, always.
Baby steps matter.
They did.
Yes. Yeah. No, baby steps. I love baby steps. So, Chris, we know from Carrie, she shared a couple of hers, you know, main things that were her, you know, needle movers, so to say. Did you have anything specific along your journey that you really felt played a huge role in it?
So I was sort of the guinea pig of the two of us. So I did, you know, I did more testing and I sort of tried more things, and I'm still that way. I still try things just
well, you're the man of the house. You're supposed to be the guinea pig, right? Make sure it works first. You know, like you got to take a bite of this food to make sure it's not going to kill you.
Yeah. So You know, I did the same tinctures that Carrie did. But some things that I know helped were some IV vitamin C infusions. I also, I don't see a problem actually saying this, but I actually did some ozone as well. And so, you know, those things I felt were, what I want to say, they weren't, I don't know if they were the things that put you over the finish line, but they certainly sped the process up and made things made other things more palatable, maybe is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And so I would add, you know, just the tinctures that she was using, I did the same thing. I did add a different one, still Research Nutritionals, is called Mike P. And so that's a mycoplasma focused one.
So MYC-P.
Yeah, so it's Mike P. Okay. But, you know, ultimately I did. I did, you know, fair amount of IV vitamin C and some ozone. And to this day, you know, I will still occasionally go do any one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And both of those, the high dose, vitamin C IVs and ozone, were two big pieces in my healing journey as well. I don't know what type of ozones you did, but I did sauna ozones. I did, blood ozones. At one point in my journey, I had a lot of, ringing in my ears, and I did ozone through the ears. And that was, you know, super interesting because, and it's kind of funny. I'll never forget. It was probably one of the cheapest things I did in my whole journey. I was already going to this clinic, and when they said, yeah, we need to do some ozone through your ears, I'm like, how are you going to do that? So you got this stethoscope, right? And with the earpieces, and it's connected to this ozone. And it literally worked the first treatment. And I'm pretty sure it was $10. $10 will run. I mean, I was already a patient of this clinic, you know, and all of that. But I just thought it was kind of funny that, you know, I'm sticking these little stethoscope things in my ears. One treatment, I'm good. And it's $10. I'm like, praise that. I got to celebrate that one. Right. So I did many forms of IVs. Did you do several types as well?
I did. Well, I started with the IV ozone. I've done other forms of, you know, other methodologies of, or modalities of ozone, but really the IV stuff, because the doc that sort of got us pointed in the right direction, he closed his office and went to work for a large sports franchise. And so I get to spend, you know, some 2 weeks, I think I shared with you, I spent 2 weeks with him. It was just the two of us in the office, no patients, no nothing. And so along the way, you know, he showed me how to do ozone. And so much so that, you know, we later bought a medical grade ozone machine for our house. And we use it for all kinds of things. You know, we chase fleas off the dog with it. You know, we fix, you know, common colds and stuff like that. And, you know, we use every modality you can think of for ozone. And, you know, I'm not going to give out numbers, and I'm not a, you know, paid spokesman for ozone, but
no, it's great stuff. I love that you're doing that at home. You know, there's many of those modalities that we kind of collect throughout our journeys, right? And once we're well, it's don't let that stuff go to waste. I mean, that is just keeping our immunity strong, building our body up, you know, doing all the good things for us. And so, yeah, the different modalities that, you know, I've bought over the years, the foot baths, the biomats, all this stuff, I still periodically use it and I feel fantastic, right? I've been in remission, zero symptoms for over 3.5 years. And so I don't need it, but why not, right? I've spent the money, I have it. It's a fantastic thing. And one of my biggest things or biggest loves is colloidal silver. I mean, it's just truly one of my favorite things. And I probably use that like you guys use the ozone. And I finally started making it myself because it got really expensive after, you know, we had the whole shutdown of the world. The price pretty much doubled on it. And I thought, I just use it for everything. And so I brew it at home and it, you know, it's not any big deal for me to go through a 32 ounce bottle a week, you know, in it. I ingest it. I'll put it in my ears, my eyes, my nose, put it in my dog's water, put it on an owie. Like I use it as a mouth. Like I use it for everything, but I can't if you make it on your own, right? Because you can afford to. So I love that you have these modalities and you continue to use them because they're so beneficial to us.
Yeah. I was not able to do the IVs, one, because I was working full time, so I wasn't able to get to the clinic. And two, my veins are insanely ridiculous. They just could not stick me for an IV. So we had to come up with other modalities, and ozone was a great tool for us.
It was one of those.
Yeah.
I can't say that ozone did it because we did so many things.
Right.
But one of the, like for me, one of the things was my immunoglobulin levels were in the 300s, which is very much not good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was told that I had to do a particular monthly, common monthly IV regimen to remedy that. But after I thought about it, I was like, I'm not going to do that. And it was the same thing. I was like, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm not going to do that. I can do this on my own. And they swore up and down that there was no other way to do it, but I did it.
He did it.
And so, you know, is it perfect? No, but is it in the acceptable range? Absolutely. So,
yeah. And again, just being curious, right? And trying to figure out, this is, I mean, I'm not going to lie, this can be an expensive journey. It certainly doesn't need to be as expensive as mine was or many other people's. But you know, it's going to cost you some money. And so when we can, and I don't want to use the term cut corners, but when we can figure out different ways to do things from home that may be less expensive, like more power to us, check it out. It's that whole curious word, right? You don't know until you try it.
So had we known then what we know now, I will say.
I could shout that from the rooftops, right?
Yeah. I mean, we could have done this journey for a small fraction of what we actually spent. So, yeah. You know, the old adage of work, you know, work smarter, not harder. Yeah. I feel like that very much plays into this journey.
Yes, a 1,000,000%. And that just, you know, kind of leads me into the final thing that I want to talk about is, you know, that's why we share what we share, right? So I know in my life, this Lyme journey was so many blessings came from it, right? I didn't really see it at the time, but I do now. And that's, you know, there's the handful of reasons why I do what I do and I give back to the Lyme community. And just one of the things I do is this weekly podcast is because we need to feel validated, right? We need to feel that people believe us. We need to have hope. We need to have inspiration. But also we need to know that we can afford to treat this. And awareness is so, so important. So I've always said, if just one person walks away with more information than they knew before they listened to it, I've done my job. Because probably like you, Chris, right? If we were educated even a little bit, when we got that bullseye rash, we'd have been like, hey, this is Lyme disease. Let's tackle this thing instead of letting it deteriorate our bodies for years. Right. And so I'm telling you, even if I can just share with a stranger, hey, if you ever get a bullseye rash, you have Lyme disease. Like that's what it's about. Awareness is so, so important. And so that's why I give back to the Lyme community the way that I do, because I just want to share what we had to learn the hard way. Right. And I know that you too, Chris and Carrie, do a lot of what I do in the Lyme community. Can we just talk a little bit about, we don't need to talk about why you went that way, right? Because it's your journeys that took you there. But what do you do and how can people reach out to you guys?
So our thing, oddly enough, it was the same, you know, we've had many docs along the way, but it was the same doc that figured us out, that sort of inadvertently started the support group that we now run. Because okay. We closed up, you know, he started sending people our way for more information. And so it's a private group, but, you know, they can get the Carrie's email from you and she'll put you on the list. But what we do is once a month, we have a, we call it grassroots meeting, where, you know, as few or as many people as want to can hop on to a, you know, a meeting,
Zoom meeting.
Yeah. It's all on Zoom. And so, you know, you can be wherever, and just ask questions. We just share, you know, share, knowledge and experience and that kind of stuff. There's a practitioner or two that frequently jumps on, and he's able to, you know, answer questions. I can't, some things like that. But our mission is a little bit like you. I mean, you're putting people's experiences out there and sharing, you know, how that works, and even the variety of experiences on the same thing. Yeah. Our mission is to, and even when we have guest speakers, you know, we've had, if you go to our Rumble page, you'll see what I mean. But
for about a year and a half, we've put everything on Rumble.
We've had some pretty interesting folks on there, but our message is really to give people access to the people or the information that they either might not have access to or didn't already know. And so it's just expanding the knowledge base and access to that knowledge. And that's, I mean, that's why I go to the conferences, you know. It's not, I'm not putting it into practice the next day. I just right. want to be on the same level as the people that, you know, we get our advice from, you know.
It's all about gathering those tools for our toolbox, right? We want as many tools in our toolbox as we can get. Some may work for ourselves, some may work for others, but knowledge is power. I mean, it truly is. And I know the Zoom talk calls that you're talking about, me and a friend started a Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors Facebook group several years ago. And we had these bi-monthly Zoom meetings, right? Just like what you said, Chris, come on, ask your questions. I'll share how you can detox at home for free, right? Like, we're not giving medical advice. We're just offering you tips and sharing information. And it's just, it's such a wonderful community to truly be involved in. And so I love that you're doing what you're doing, right? Because it truly fills our soul to be able to shorten the learning curve for many of the listeners out there, just simply based on our mishaps and the things that we wished maybe we would have done differently.
We do actually have two meetings a month, and we typically have, like he was just describing, a grassroots and then a different one for speakers. So we meet the first and third Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And again, you have my email if people are interested in joining those live meetings. Just email me, or the Rumble channel is the same name as our group, which is Lyme Autoimmune and Environmental Medicine Support. So they can find us easily on Rumble. And we've been putting videos on Rumble since February of 23. So many, many meetings and lots of information out there.
I love that. And as always, the listeners, go into the description of this episode. I'll be sure to have their Rumble link in there. I'm sure to have the email address to reach out. Now, do they email you to let you know that, hey, I'd like to join in to your Zoom calls? Is that how we go about it?
Yes, I will put them on the list that would be getting an email not every Wednesday, but the Wednesday, you know, the day before each meeting. I email everybody the Zoom link and tell them what's, you know, going on for that meeting.
Yep. Awesome. Well, all the information will be in the description of this episode. As always, we just want to offer free advice for you guys, right? Free tips, but mostly hope and inspiration, and just Wherever you are today, if you're having a rough day, just know that there's so much hope out there for you. There's so much support and there's so many resources out there. Just reach out to any of us. We're happy to help you. But just don't give up. Chris, no. Carrie, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. And I'm happy you two found one another and figured this journey out together. It makes for a beautiful story, right? And I truly appreciate what you guys do in the Lyme community. Thank you.
Thanks for what you
thank
do,
you
Tanya.
Too.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.